Hello, and welcome to the Pony Sync for December 8th, 2020. My name is Andrew Turley, and I will be your host today. Can everybody who's here in person just introduce themselves?
I'm Joe McElveen.
I'm Jason Kahn.
Ryan Higginson.
Roland Smith.
Great. So welcome to the people who are here live and in person, and welcome everybody who is listening along. We record these things every week, so hopefully people occasionally download them and listen to them. Great to know. So the issues for discussion today are in our Zulip thing, in the sync stream under the 2020-12-08 topic. So if you are here or listening, you can hop over there and follow along with us. I will start, as we usually do, with RFCs. So first up is a PR Unicode string 179.
So I made a single comment on here. The suggestion that I made about the array method has some very weird behavior potentially. So there probably needs to be more discussion around that.
Right. That was using an embedded array instead of
it's the array method being slightly more permissive in the capability is useful for a number of other method calls on the arrays, but I think the semantics probably need some hashing, or we need to maybe make two methods or name it a bit more.
So the string class is array method now.
Yeah, I had suggested so that because we were eliminating some of those byte like the byte-wise methods from before.
Yeah.
Because it was basically possible, I had suggested making that capability more permissive to allow it to be a box method that gives a read-only view of the underlying array.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, if you don't embed the array, it has this awkward behavior where, well, the first thing is, currently it does encoding and decoding, which causes some cases it'll produce a new array. At other right. cases, it won't, depending yep. on the encoding.
Yeah.
So that means it will track updates to the string. If you have if you get a box out of it and you make mm-hmm. a change to the string, that will be reflected if the encoding is UTF-8 and if it is not enough changes to allocate a new array. If it's not embedded, then it's still pointing to the old buffer and it sort of tracks updates right. until a point.
Oh, yeah.
Very
right. Yep.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we continue going down that path, we probably want to make a version that is named like more scary, that has that semantics and describe that, or embed the array so that we don't have that problem and give like a view to the raw U8 array.
Can you explain why embedding the array doesn't have, I figured it out, sorry.
Yep, it tracks the length. Or like the new applications.
Yeah, because all of the reallocations and stuff would happen inside.
Okay. I'm not sure I understand it. Could you just quickly? So
the way that we construct it right now is we construct a new array object pointing to the old buffer and with the length and capacity. And so that,
yep. mm-hmm.
when we construct that new array object, it acts independently of the string. And so although it's read-only, so it just has a view,
right.
the string does its own reallocation. So it might create a new buffer
yeah,
and go do something off somewhere else. So what that means is that when they're separate, if we like write a new character in, the array mm-hmm. will reflect that if we like modify right. an existing character. But if we keep pushing on new characters, then eventually the array will stop reflecting changes. And it also won't reflect okay. any changes if the encoder is not UTF-8 as it is written currently.
Right.
And so the alternative would be we have to copy the copy the buffer. So if we don't embed the array, then we have to copy the buffer and incur the copying cost every time you want to do a bytewise operation on the array?
Not necessarily. It's just weird semantics. And so it's like kind of, it probably should not be given the really privileged name array if you do allow it, just because it's kind of more low level and you accept the complexity. I guess the way I'd put it.
And so if we did embed the array, then we'd have the array that you get would reflect any, so assuming the encoding was UTF-8, then the array that you've got would reflect all changes in perpetuity, and not stop reflecting changes when reallocation occurred, correct?
Yep. So it would reflect all changes.
But if it was a different encoding, it would not reflect any changes.
Yeah, which is maybe also a bit weird for some of those bytewise operations that we perhaps should just give like one method that always gives the underlying array no matter what, and then perhaps a second smarter method.
Yeah, in light of all this, I would kind of prefer to just get the bytewise methods back and just have them, you know, prefixed with like, you know, byte push and byte, or well.
Can't have byte push. But...
Yeah, you can't have byte push. That is a bad example. And why did we choose not to embed the array? I remember there was a reason.
It adds memory overhead right now. Unless we make any other changes, it turns into 5 bytes instead of 4, which rounds up to 8. Okay. Or not 5 bytes, 5 words.
Right. And there's also a lot of, I guess, in the PonySQL compiler itself, it's just got some expectations about the structure of a string that would have to be changed.
Yeah, and I was looking into, you know, making those changes, but then that was when I realized, yeah, the memory overhead would be increased because you have 2 object headers you now have to auto-allocate. Mm-hmm. Or no, it's not 2 object headers, but it is. Well, yes, it is 2 object headers, yeah. Because the one object is embedded inside the other, so you have the outer object header, and then the inner object header, and then the inner fields. Which brings us across the threshold of the magic number of bytes that can be a small allocation into the next power of 2.
Right.
So the size.
What about just trying to actually sort of really separate the, you know, string from array a little more cleanly? Always do the copy. And if you're really interested in performance on the array, just use the array and don't use string class at all. Otherwise, accept the overhead of doing those copies when you switch between. But if you're really going to be working with it, with the bytes as bytes, keep it in an array. If you want to treat it like a string, then you know, you probably don't need to be.
And that's my thought on if we just keep the val array function and then have a scarier name like bytes array or whatever that has the wonkier semantics and just let people deal with it if they want, basically.
Okay. So the array function as it exists now would always do a copy, but then have some sort of
if it's unval, it doesn't need to copy in some cases.
Okay, right, okay. Just not right.
Those wonky semantics we're talking about are not necessarily that wonky if it's a like string val, right? It's string val,
val is fine.
Yeah.
The only thing is that if it can be modified, if reallocations can occur, then the semantics will be affected by those reallocations.
Well, yeah, and also they're affected by like the encoding, right?
Yes. If we I'm wondering if we could just do, like, if we did allow for a really low level interface with that, we could just probably do, like, always expose the underlying array. As long as it's read only, it's just, it's bytes. Like, so maybe, so I feel like there's, like, not as much concern.
Okay. Yeah, I think that level of wonkiness makes sense to me, I suppose. Like, it's like the best we can get, I think, in this paradigm.
Yeah. See, the thing is, it's entirely unproblematic if you just read the array and, like, if you just read it temporarily, if you borrow the array, it's fine. It's just a matter of storing it that you get potential weirdness, I guess, is the way to put it.
The only other thing I'm thinking about is if we were to, okay, so string and array are both special classes because they're in the built-in package, and they're both, like, known by the compiler as special. They both have the special behavior in the compiler, basically. They're kind of, like, primitive in a way, but not primitives in the funny sense. I wonder, they also happen to have, like, exactly the same memory layout and just a different object header. And so I'm wondering if it makes sense to consider the possibility of a special case in the compiler conversion, like, you know, like a compiler intrinsic in Pony terminology. So if the string to array method were a compiler intrinsic, you could, well, actually that's interesting. You don't need it to be a compiler intrinsic. Okay. So we still have ISO array, right?
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
Okay. So never mind. I don't think what I was going to say is actually useful. We just have complexity, but yeah. So if we still have ISO array, you still, like, if you're holding a string ISO, you can still convert it to and from an array with very little overhead and no semantic wonkiness. It's only basically for string tran or ref that you would have the wonkiness issues. For string ISO, you'd use the ISO array. For string val, there's no wonkiness. String
box is, I guess, the same.
Yeah,
thing.
Ref and box have the same problem. Okay. This all seems okay to me, given all the constraints and given that it just gets documented.
So what does okay mean?
Okay to proceed, I guess.
So in the current, with the array method, as
we did it, with no change, or
sorry. What I mean is with the wonky array semantics having, like, a different name, like you suggested, Jason.
Okay. So we have the val array, and then we have the more low level array that's, like, has a warning sign on it.
Right. And that means that the val array has to always copy, right?
No, val array doesn't have to always copy.
No.
They become, I guess, maybe three.
Only if it's a modifiable string, it would have to copy. If it's a val, it doesn't. Is that right?
Yeah, for a val, there's no need to copy. It can use the underlying buffer with no issues.
Okay.
That's kind of where Pony reference capabilities save the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I guess for the other one, if you just give them a copy of the array, you just build the array out of the pointer, you don't need to do any copying for any cases, which is fast.
Okay. So that new function won't even specify an encoding. You're just going to get the raw bytes.
That's my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I would think that if you're, yeah, if, well, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I can leave a comment on the RFC.
Okay, that would be great.
Do we have a name idea for this slightly scarier name? Maybe like current array?
Or like byte buffer? I think my one.
Raw bytes or?
I kind of like the idea of having current in there, so maybe like current byte buffer. It's kind of a long name that's not necessarily a problem for something that's supposed to be a little bit scary.
Yeah.
It seems a little, what I don't know what current adds. I mean, it's
current. I actually don't like current because some updates are tracked. So that's why I wanted to say, so I like buffer just by virtue of saying like, yeah, we're giving you the same buffer here. It might change on you.
Right.
Well, it is the.
Can I ask, is it possible?
If current is because it comes invalid after some you know, amount of changes.
Yeah.
And to me, if you're granting the current byte buffer, it's like implying, okay, we might allocate a new buffer and then your current byte buffer becomes invalid. But until we allocate the new byte buffer, then the current byte buffer will track changes. That's why I like current, because there is a temporal aspect to it, or not necessarily temporal, but in terms of like, you know, number of operations as time, I guess. Like it becomes invalid when we allocate a new byte buffer, and that's what makes me think of it as the current byte buffer.
Yep.
Yep. That makes sense. Okay.
And then just the documentation would need to explain it clearer than I just did.
Are we all okay with current byte buffer?
I think that works.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I'll write up a comment.
Okay. Moving on then, let's take a look at PonyC. We've got two PRs. The first one is fix building bitcode runtime library with versioned Clang. That's 3680. Looks like Sean approved this, but some checks were not successful. Does anybody know enough about these Windows failures to know what's going on here? I think I'll just ask Gordon if he can take a look at it. Gordon didn't sneak in here, did he? No. Okay.
Well, Well, he filed the PR, right? So.
Yeah. I mean.
Oh, you mean he didn't sneak into the call? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on from there, RFC 3679 changes for the RFC 179 Unicode string.
I noticed that Matthias was in the Zulip talking about he wasn't able to get into the Zoom call. I wondered if maybe he had an outdated link and gave him the current link. Hopefully he comes in, but he might have something to say about this. I know that he mentioned he was going to try to review this.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it there for him, I guess, then. Yeah, I think the only reason this is showing up actually is because I edited the link last time. So.
Right. Maybe this is, I think there are some people trying to look at why the all the build team, some things can be broken on that branch that I haven't been able to make much headway figuring out.
Which CI results should I look at?
I think like if you Linux just ones? Follow the link that's there in the when you go to 3679, it takes you right there.
Was it? So the question is about these like Docker image builds and stuff that are failing and why.
Yeah, exactly. And it seemed like with the first check-in, which had most of the changes, the whole thing ran in maybe 3 minutes and seemed like most everything succeeded. And then I made a really one line, very minor change to fix a bug and check that in. And then everything ran for like a few hours and became sort of a mess.
I clicked rerun just now on the GitHub action things.
I see that.
We'll see if we get different results there.
Okay. I assume that's something you have to be privileged to do because I couldn't find no way to.
I'm not sure about, I don't know a lot about GitHub Actions yet, but if you ever want to rerun CI on a branch that's yours, you can usually do that by like pushing a new commit or amending and force pushing the current commit.
Okay.
So if you have a branch that you want to trigger the CI builds for, then you can.
That's the way to do it. Okay. Yeah,
commit, amend, and then force push. These Windows changes seem to be well to CI Windows error messages, but fail to execute populate script for libs cache does not seem like necessarily an issue with your pull request. Try to click rerun for these as well. Let's see what they have. It looks like, yeah, some of the Docker ones that failed before have now succeeded.
Yeah, looks much better. Very fast, too. Where's...
So, yeah, hopefully that is not
there. Can I ask, I've got one other question kind of related to this. I don't want to take too much time, but I've got a bunch of changes for some other projects that I guess, resulted from the changes in string. I think if I commit those now, they all won't work. Is there any way to get those tests to run with this new version of string? Or does string have to be pushed into sort of like released before those can?
Let's take a look at how Corral runs. Corral is probably the best example because I see you already opened the pull request there.
I did that one and then.
So let's see how the CI for it is currently working. So yeah, it does it with the most recent Pony C release. I think you can edit CI configuration on your branch for like testing and proving out purposes, and then remove that from the branch before merging. Let me see if I can figure out what that would be. Like not super familiar with GitHub Actions. Breakage against Pony C latest. Okay. That's interesting. So there's already an action there for versus Pony C master, which is what you would want. But that you have to wait for that to merge though. So is that actually running? Verify PR builds against most recent Pony C release. Why does it say release and thought this would be against past? And that's definitely release version. Oh no, this is, I see, okay. So this is release as in release mode compilation rather than debug mode.
Okay.
I wanna confirm this before I go to you, but we have release that says, does check out on the repo, hit initialize containers. Okay. So we have to grab the container that's already built. Reverse engineering this all live. Sorry, everyone. I think the answer is not as simple as I was at first.
Okay. Because all right, we can take this off into conversation.
Yeah, I think what it uses a container that's built and pushed, and we'd have to modify that container or you have to tell in the YAML. So there's a .github/workflow/breakage-against-pony-c-latest.yml.
Right.
Has a container image name, and you could change that image name, but you'd have to publish an image with your string changes.
Right. And isn't that what this build is doing on that's running right now on isn't that creating Docker images, or are those not published?
I don't think they're getting published. Right. Okay. So I think it's validating that the Docker image can be built.
Uh-huh.
But it's not publishing the Docker image. And I think this is actually, it's validating the Docker image for Corral can be built. Is that it? So yeah, 20C release Alpine. Yeah, so it's like grabbing released Alpine and pushing it on there. So yeah, I think it would be fairly involved to get your pull request working against something that was not Pony C master. So I think we don't have to release Pony C for it to work for Corral, but we'd need to be merged to master before the CI would start passing with your changes.
Okay.
And the CI for Corral would then be failing. And I hope we don't have a catch 22 right here. I'm not sure how involved Corral is in the Pony C testing. I don't think it is.
Okay. I mean, the changes to Corral are minor. I think it's like two or three lines where it's just, it's converting a string to an array without, I can't remember what it was, but yeah, there were probably very minor.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the best shot would be just try to get it merged into Pony C first, and then we just wouldn't be able to, you know, we have to make sure Corral gets, you know, done after that.
Right. Okay.
All right. Anything else we want to cover there? I'll take that as a no.
Nope.
Okay. We've got two issues for Pony C. First one is syntax pass return on constructor or behavior must not have an expression before lambda desugar. 3682.
Yeah, this was discussed in the Zulip, and yeah, basically, lambdas have bad early return checking. The early return at the syntax level, or the syntax pass, which is an early, very early pass of the compiler, it checks. This check for early return, and that's in that early pass, is assigning the return as if it belongs to the method that contains the lambda rather than the lambda itself. Even though the semantics-wise of the language, it belongs to the lambda. So in order to fix this compiler check, this compiler bug is incorrectly complaining, we'd either need to do some complicated stuff to fix it in the syntax pass, or I've argued move it to the later verify pass, which happens near the end. Since this is not something that should break other passes, we can check it at the end instead of at the beginning. That's the status of that one. I mean, it just was discussed in Zulip, and then there was a ticket created based on the discussion.
Okay. All right, and then the other one is the UDP sockets stop listening after a while, 3139. Anything new on that? No, it looks like the only reason this is showing up is that I left a comment in there last week. Okay. All right. Moving on, let's just start up at the top and go to Corral. Changes resulting from RFC 179 Unicode string, that's 161. And again, I think this is only showing up because I added the link last week.
Yeah, and we discussed this. I mean, it looks good to merge, but we can't merge it until, as we discussed before, mm-hmm. merge it until the string changes land on Pony C.
Yep. HTTP server request to examples. HTTP server from Apache Bench makes client wait until timeout. Here.
I can have a look. So I can have a look after after the sync.
Okay.
Assign it to me.
Okay. You can go ahead and just assign it to yourself for.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I will.
Sorry, jumping around between a couple of things there.
No worries.
Cool. All right. Main actor, we have just a couple of dependabot things. Should we bump those or?
Thank you.
just wait until somebody can get around to just verifying that nothing breaks with those. Yeah, so that's 41, 40, and 35. Basically the same thing. Just depend about messages. And then same thing in MK Docs theme for issue 32. So that covers that. Pony website, the Last Week in Pony issue. Nothing to really talk about there. And then Pony Up, one issue. There's a seg fault on show and update, number 172.
I think Sean is on this.
Yeah, it looks like it. Very, very recently up on this, as of 7 minutes ago. So I think we can, looks like Sean's looking at it. I think we can leave it with that. Okay, that is it for the issues that we have listed here. Does anybody else have anything else they'd like to talk about? Going once, going twice, sold. Okay, well, thank you everybody for showing up today, and thank you for everybody who's listening to this offline. We will see you all again, or hear everybody again next week, December 15th. Same time, same place. So everybody have a good week, and we'll talk later.